Final hour overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app, your home smart speaker, and up on TSN 2. Brian Hazy, O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles, McLennan, Scott Mitchell later in the hour. Mike Johnson will join us here in a moment. And we talked about the Conor McGregor first pitch last night. I guess he sang Take Me Out to the Ball Game as well. And listen, that's what you get, right? You get someone singing karaoke that doesn't have – I have a terrible singing voice. Terrible. I would sound like garbage too. But at least he got out there and did it. Like, Conor, I don't know if he
– I don't –
he even has any connection to the Cubs or Wrigley or Chicago.
I don't think he cares. But like,
I don't think he cares.
You look
either.
At, like, I was watching that top 10 this morning on SportsCenter, and it's Carl Lewis coming out throwing the ball. Like, does this guy not have any self-awareness? Isn't he the one who butchered the anthem
yeah,
as
the
well?
Yeah, the anthem. He did, yeah.
So, like, you just back for more punishment? Had. Like, what are you doing?
Like, that's one of the great athletes of all time, too.
Right? The anthem was outrageous, and he tried to get – he was like, come
well,
on.
He's like, hold on a second. I'm almost there. Yeah. I'm almost there. I'm sorry about that, folks. Like, he legitimately thought he has this amazing voice, and he just missed a note. I'm like, just pack it in.
Yeah,
like
Roseanne Barr made it. There's no self-awareness with that. I think people – like, I think you think – like, a lot of people think they have a really great voice. They hear it. You're
right.
Just not hearing the way people actually hear it. You
right.
know, and someone that is committed to the song singing game, and if it's a butcher job, it is really difficult to endure and get through. But I guess credit people for trying it. I wouldn't do it. No way.
I don't know. Or having some, like, you should have some form of self-awareness. Like, that's the thing. Like, maybe you don't care. Like, Conor McGregor goes out on the mound. He's one of the most recognizable athletes in the world right now.
Mm-hmm.
And goes out and whips the ball and tries to hit the mascot 20 feet wide of the home plate. Doesn't care. What does he care? You know, but like he's probably buckled in singing the take
well,
me home.
Well, he's rehabbing too, right? Like that
right. Doesn't
gruesome
he have the bad,
injury he
yeah,
had.
Yeah, he broke his, what was it, ankle or
yeah,
something?
Yeah, his ankle.
That was a
like
terrible
that was
injury.
My
really
buddy said
tough.
He was doing it for attention, and I'm like, there's no way. This guy doesn't need that kind of attention.
But I feel like
nobody gets
are
more attention in the world than him.
But I feel there are guys who, I'm not going to name names, but they just, like, if they don't get enough attention, they go out of the way to do something, like, once a month. Either a retired athlete, you know, all of a sudden this guy on Twitter is popping off or doing something. Like, you just, it's like they just crave that, like, hey, look at me type of thing. And I don't know if McGregor's like that.
Well, I think it's benefited him, though, doing that. Like,
right.
He is loud, he's abrasive, he's in your face, he's... And that's a marketing ploy for him. And it's made
absolutely.
Him a very, very rich man and a very massive worldwide celebrity.
Yeah.
So I think it works in the fight game, you know, being loud, being in your face, being obnoxious. And he checks all those boxes.
Right.
So anyway, it's all good. He got through it. He's not going to be too concerned about that. The Leafs are back in camp today. You see the Maple Leafs were all over Twitter, Instagram, this collaboration with Bieber's clothing company, Drew. And personally, I wouldn't buy any of this. It looks terrible to me, but I don't think it's focused on
not
me.
Like, for it's us. Not, it's not
I'm
for
not,
old guys.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's not, and I get that. That's not for me. It's not directed towards me. I have no issues with trying to find a new, I guess, avenue for sales. And that's what it comes down to. And Bieber's a massive celebrity who's a big Leaf fan, and it's
dude,
like
you watch,
Bieber's
like
going to be the Drake for the Leafs.
The wardrobe change, it's like, like, I don't really know, but I think, like, a going out outfit to, like, to go out with your, it's like a hoodie and kind of, like, Lululemon kind of sweatpants and Jordans. Like, that's considered going out stuff. It's not like we would throw on the dress shoes with jeans and a polo tucked in with a belt. Like,
yeah.
The hoodie game with just a simple, stupid logo on it, like, that's the game now.
Yeah.
Like, I think. I mean, I get the sense.
Right.
Yeah,
yeah, I get the sense as well. Again, completely disconnected from what
the
is
hoodie,
in, what is out, all that
the
kind of
hoodie
stuff.
Now is like, that's your, like, remember we used to refer to them as bar tees or, like, bar shirts?
Yeah.
Like, the hoodie is the go-to, I think, for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But what, I don't know.
I mean, do we know
but this guy's Drew... a smiley face. I don't even know what the hell Drew means.
It's, I don't get it either because it looks like the old, like, Dazed and Confused happy face. Remember
right.
that? Like, that's what it looks like it is. And obviously, it's a popular line. Like, if Bieber's connected to it, then people know what it's all about, and it's making money. And Matthews is always wearing it and talking about it. Marner's always wearing it and talking about it. But it was like a it's basically an infomercial today, like what they posted. Like, Dermot, all these other guys are like, hey, these are awesome. Like, these are great.
Right.
And you know they're going to be selling them. And I'm sure they'll fly off the shelves. That wouldn't surprise me at all. Because more so because of Bieber than anything else.
Well,
but
said,
that's what they're looking for, the collab, you know. It's Drake did it for the Raptors, and I don't think Bieber's going to move to Toronto or anything, but he'll be in the stands. If there are fans in the stands this year, assuming he's vaccinated, because I get the impression like that'll be the case
right.
for the majority of the season, he'll be in town. He'll get down to a game.
Yeah, I just – you know what? I think it's cool. I think it's neat. I can hear – a small percentage of people going, why don't they just worry about hockey? You know what I mean? I'm not saying that that's not me speaking, the crusty old man. Like, but, you know, if they won, people would be like, hey, you know what, whatever. But it's always like, hey, there's another distraction for this player, another distraction. And they're allowed to do whatever they want in their personal lives. That's
but
the thing.
I might let's, sniff around.
Let's be fair here, though. I don't think the players were driving this. This was corporately driven. The team is driving this collaboration. The team was tweeting it out. The team is working with the Drew. I don't think the players showed up and say, hey, grab your phone and shoot me, you know, putting this shirt on. Like, they were basically told, this is what we're doing today. Can everyone open up the box and pull the shirt out?
Yeah.
And, yeah, from an organizational standpoint, you're right. But I don't think it's the players that decided to do this.
I'll sniff around to see if there's an extra loot bag
I was just going to say, there's one guy on this panel you know wants a free Drew shirt.
You'll wear one on the air, won't you?
Dude, I look cool in a hoodie. Like, I'm not. It's not like a tight spandex shirt. It's a hoodie.
Yeah, no, I understand that. But the Drew, I don't know if that's in our wheelhouse. You know, but
dude, speak for yourself, man. I don't know. Like,
okay, I am. I'm speaking for myself.
MJ wants a hoodie too, for sure.
Yeah, MJ, I think could pull it off. But I've never really seen MJ in anything but a suit.
Yeah.
Here he is, our TSN hockey analyst, Mike Johnson. Are you feeling this Bieber collaboration? What about the alumni jacket? You guys have the Leaf emblem, and then on the other side, a little Drew face. Would that go over well, or what?
Listen, if it's a, you know, a freebie bag, you're gonna try it out. I think it's a good idea. I mean, we obviously know Austin's a good buddy of his, but yeah, I could rock a hoodie with a Drew logo on it. Oh, could kill that, no problem. Yeah, why not?
Okay.
Slide some up to the studio, Leafs, and we'll see what we can do with it.
All right.
Biebs, if you're out there, XL.
XL. Wow.
I like it a lot.
I thought there was another X involved there when you were talking how things worked out this summer where you were a 2X was hanging
on for
days.
Life. We squeezed out all of that.
Into XL. I love it. Congrats.
That's motivating. Having the Bieber hoodie waiting for you in an XL, that's the move, man. You buy ahead. You buy for the next season knowing where that body type's going to be.
Wow.
Well, you got to think Biebs, like, he's so small. Like, an XL on his line is probably like a medium on a regular line. So we might have to make some line adjustments when it comes to the actual fitting. You know, like, maybe athletic XL, but he might be Biebs like triple X at this point because, you know, some clothes fit small.
That's
so
true.
You never know.
That's like the old Club Monaco. You ever go to
Club
Monaco?
Club Monaco is a perfect example. Exactly. For size 6 is size like a size 2.
Right.
Yeah.
Like quad XL. In hockey shape. Yeah. Like, I can't fit into this sweater.
Dude, but conversely, you
go to
down.
Le Chateau and you couldn't get a Le Chateau t-shirt to fit.
No.
Yeah, but conversely, you go to a truck station or a truck stop in Wyoming. Actually bought a shirt from a truck stop in Wyoming, an XL, and I was swimming in it. Like, the American XL is a little bit healthier.
What is the point of that? Like, why can't we all get on the same page? Because I've had the same experience where I'll buy, like, my wife will be in the States, and she'll send me a pic. Do you want this? I'm like, yeah, grab it for me, an L. Come home, and it's the same thing. It's massive. It's like a triple XL. Like, what is the point of that?
Because not every country sizes their clothes the same. Because it's like the Cheesecake Factory salad. Like that serve an army.
That's very true. It's the portions at the Cheesecake Factory are outrageous.
You buy one, you're set for the week. It's gross.
Outrageous.
It actually is ridiculous how big those portions are. But there are people that sit down and just do work.
Go time. Go. It's a four-hour event. You know, there's a pregame, the game, the postgame, then the cheesecake's coming out. Cheesecake slices there are 3,500 calories if they're a calorie.
Oh, yeah.
They're massive. And I devour them. I'll walk out of there with six of them, you know, just set up shop for the week. I can't wait.
That's the problem.
It is.
You go there, you feel compelled that, like, I got to eat it because it's in front of me. So we it's not terrible food, but it's portion controls are an issue.
It's gluttony, man. When you're mapping out your cheesecake plan for the next 48 hours, you are a sloth, and I've done it many times, and I intend on doing it again soon. Day one of camps, no one on the ice, but for us, the story of the day, which was one that we were expecting and will continue to be consistent throughout the year, was the Morgan Riley contract talk, Johnny, where Kyle Dubas basically said, flat cap, pandemic, not sure what we can do about this. My impression was they're going to do what they did with Hyman last year, play it out, and he'll be a UFA, and we'll see if they can make it work at the end of the season. How did you read those tea leaves?
Yeah, I think so. And it seems as though the response from Morgan Riley was like, well, I'm not going to re-sign for $5 million just because I like it here, just because I'm a good guy and I'm a, you know, staple of the community. Nor should he. He's watching guys like Darnell Nurse get nine, and he's like, well, you know, I'm worth eight something at the very least. So it really will come down to how committed is Toronto to the four forwards, because I don't think you can afford Morgan Riley for what he'll get on the open market and keep all four forwards and field a competitive team. So something will have to give there, and I think they play it out. I think if they go well in the playoffs, then, you know, maybe they just let him walk at the end of the year. And if it doesn't go well, I don't know, maybe at some point you have to think about trading him beforehand. Now that's, you know, getting away ahead of ourselves, but they are going to roll it back with this group, knowing that this is a fish, like Freddie left now. So, like, you know, Hyman left, Freddie left, they're chipping away at the kind of periphery core pieces. And the next biggest huge periphery core out of those four forwards is Morgan Riley. And it's likely that this will be his last year in Toronto, because he's going to get more money than they can afford to pay him at the end of the year, regardless of how the year goes for the Leafs.
How would you handle it, Johnny, if you were running the show as far as Riley's concerned? Are you at all costs making the room for him to play here, or what's your take it or leave it with him? Like, just how would your overall dealing with it go down?
Well, I you know, it's hindsight now, but I think seeing the contracts flying around, like, I probably would have investigated trading him already, because the return you could have given, you could have gotten for him, maybe replaced him somewhat on the ice and then set yourself up better for the future. Like, I think it's cutthroat, and because they didn't win, it seems like it's a plausible idea. Now, I would be hesitant to do that now, because you want to see how good your team can be with him playing on it and playing well on it. But I think at his age and his defensive deficiencies and maybe the ability of somebody else to pick up some of the stuff he's great at, which is, you know, certainly offensively, I don't think I'd be willing to pay him what somebody else would if I was running the team. And that would suck. Morgan Riley's been a good Toronto Maple Leaf player and employee through some, like, pretty crappy times. And he's kind of been a stand-up guy, and it would be hard to say goodbye to that. But I think if I was running the team, I probably would have to prepare to do it.
Johnny, I've seen on your Twitter and with the NHL Network, you've been doing some projections of contracts. So you just said that, you know, I mean, Kaprizov signs. You just mentioned the, you know, Morgan Riley comparables. If all these other guys are getting something with a nine in it, he might be at least an eight. Are you seeing, you know, with some of these contracts being thrown out, we were talking about it before you came on. What do you think Jimmy Benning's thinking right now in Vancouver? Because he's got two pretty big and key pieces.
He's thinking, yipe, yipe, yipe. How am I going to get this done? I mean, he has about 15 or 16 when you get the long-term injury, send some guys down. That's not enough money to sign those two guys to long-term contracts. Flat out. Like, they don't, they both combined will make $17 million on a long-term deal. And so you're going to have to bridge at least one of them. I think it's probably Pettersson because his contract would be massive. He's as good as Kaprizov. He's more important than he's a centerman. You know, he deserves $9.5 million or more on an 8-year deal. So, it's going to be a challenge for him. It's going to be an absolute challenge for him. You see all kinds of defensemen getting, you know, Heiskanen got $8 million, Dougie Hamilton, Seth Jones, Darnell Nurse, all guys that Quinn Hughes is a very different player, but you know, he's in that group of players. He's that kind of guy. So, he knows it's a tough negotiation. He's probably going to have to bridge and bring him in and then pay him through the moon again in 3 years, just because even though they flushed all that dead cap money, they brought in Ekman Larson, they still don't have that much space available to them to get these guys done long term.
Yeah, that is that's going to be panic-inducing for sure. And I obviously Ottawa's in a different position with Brady Tkachuk because they're not up against the cap. They're not expected to have this big bounce back. They want to have a big step forward. But the Canucks season was a complete wash away last year, and they wanted to make the playoffs again. Ottawa saying the right things about making improvements and no more rebuild, and we got to really show up and prove that we're players. It's not going to happen this year. I just don't see them having enough talent with the big boys in the Atlantic where they can keep up. But the Tkachuk stuff is hanging over that team as well, and his family's got a long history of it. In fact, they're proud of it. Like, they are proud of being tough negotiators, and they are happy to not show up. I'm not sure how this one gets resolved, but how do you see it playing out?
Did you read Matthew Tkachuk's or hear Matthew Tkachuk's comment?
Oh, yeah.
And he thought,
oh,
like,
yeah,
we're in his corner. My dad's in his corner. This is what we do. And, like, I applaud them for that. Like, I've read some stuff, like, he's not a good team guy. Like, what are you talking about? He's absolutely a great team guy, and he's making sure he gets as much money as he can. Like, I don't think Brady Tkachuk's offensive ceiling is super high. Like, I don't think he's ever going to score 40. I don't know if he's going to get 80 points. He's going to probably get like 30 and 35 assists. It's kind of, you know, where he will upper range of where he ends off. But his numbers are very similar to Svechnikov. Svechnikov just on an 8-year deal for 7.75. And intangibles, physical play, leadership, and a desire to be in Ottawa long-term does matter. So, I mean, I think if he's going 8 years, he's getting more than Svechnikov, even though I think Svechnikov's a more talented offensive winger. All those other things are unique to Ottawa, and the fact that he is willing to stay there for 8 more years matters. So I think he's in the eighth. Noodles, you talked about my projections. I had 8 years at 8.4, like, I think, which is a massive number for a guy who hasn't put up huge offensive totals, but you factor in all those other intangibles, and that bumps him from a $7.5 million player to an $8.5 million player, because Ottawa is that unique. And the one thing we talk about Caps all the time, they got to get to the floor. Like, I think they need to get him on a big ticket to get to the floor to make sure they're cap compliant the other way. So he knows that. He knows how important. He knows he's getting the captaincy the day he signs the contract, and he's going to hold that over the team to make sure that he gets everything that he can. And shouldn't, I'm not surprised. I don't blame him, and he'll be a great captain once he signs it. But I think it's going to get in the eighth before it's all said and done.
I agree. I just think it's a scenario where it's a perfect storm, you know, for him, because I agree 100% as far as projections. I said yesterday about him, I think he's a 30-goal scorer in the league, just the way he plays and the way he gets to the net. I don't see him as a 40-goal guy, but he's such an impactful player. He puts a stamp on the game every night, whether it's physical, whether it's agitating, and he can back it up with scoring. And you know, with that market, with that organization, and you also have to look at the recent history. And I know Pierre Dorion's done the rebuild. So, you know, you move Mark Stone, you move Erik Karlsson. But the fan base needs something to gravitate to. Like, this kid wants to stay there too, wants to be a part of the solution, wants to be a part of it. You know, that does factor in. I don't know how much that factors in financially, but we say it all the time in certain markets. You might have to sprinkle it on a little bit more just based on where you are in your rebuild and your progression. And I think Brady is, you know, they've got to figure it out there because he's a fantastic player.
Well, without going too far down the contract road, I think the dollars are almost agreed upon. I think it's more structured. They don't like giving out big bonuses. They don't like giving you know, $14 million in bonus and $1 million in salary to front load a contract. That's not how they want to do business. I don't think they want to spend cash that way, that organization. So I think that's the bigger conversation, not just what the AAV will be, but just how do we get the dollars into Brady's pocket?
Well, they got some time to figure that out. We're chatting with Mike Johnson, our TSN hockey analyst, and the Duncan Keith stuff is sticking out there, and he's going to be vaccinated. He's going to show up. He's going to be there, but it sounds like it came down to the wire.
And, well, it doesn't sound like it is. It did, because
it did come down
yet.
The wire. And it did with Willie as well. Like, Nylander is not fully vaxxed. He said he will be completely vaxxed and all good by the start of the season.
But Willie said he had some medical stuff going on that maybe impacted his ability to get vaccinated in a timely manner.
Sure.
I don't know what that means. But it seems like Duncan was just like, I don't want to take it, but I'm going to play, so I got to take it now. Because if you play in Canada, you really can't play in the NHL this year unless you're vaccinated. Because you can't go to the States ever to play. And you can't fly around Canada to go play. So you're going to be what? If you play in Toronto and you're unvaccinated, you can what, drive to Ottawa, Montreal, play home games. And that's it.
Yeah.
You don't get to play anywhere else. And you don't get paid for any of those days you don't go play somewhere. So whether it's Tyler Bertuzzi, whether it's Duncan Keith, like, it is an interesting part of the story. Now, there may be only 10 or 12 guys that are unvaccinated, which is kudos to the league. That's great, that amount of compliance. But for Duncan Keith, and vaccinations are very personal, like, I'm very staunchly supporting it. I'm not going to say you have to take it, but you brought him in there for leadership, for like the presence in the room. And like, if he was going to take it to begin with, why wouldn't you have taken it 2 weeks ago?
Doesn't sneak up on you.
He's a super veteran play to skip training camp because you're getting in the vaccination 2 week period. But like, it seems like not a great first step. If you're going to take it anyways, why not take it 2 weeks ago?
Johnny, there was a signing out of Buffalo, and I just get that it's Dahlin, their defenseman, the former number one overall pick, and I get the sense it was like a draft status signing. I haven't really been that impressed with him. I don't know who has been, and it seems like if he was a fourth round pick, it would have been a two-year extension, some kind of bridge deal at $1.9 million. But because it's this first overall supposedly super kid, it's got to be 3 years at six. I found that deal to be outrageous. What did you think of it?
Yeah, there's probably a little bit of truth to that, but I think you look at some of the comparables and like Sergachev on the extension he signed was
a
bridge deal.
Dude, he is not even
five.
Close to Sergachev. He's not even
you got to go back to Sergachev when he signed the contract, not Sergachev of the last year. When he didn't have a ton of points, and he also played on a way better team. Like, how do you evaluate what you're doing in Buffalo when Buffalo is so trash the last couple of years?
And furthermore, how are you going to evaluate Dahlin going into the 3 years of this deal, making six, because they're going to be even worse?
They're going to be worse.
Scary. And if you talk to the people in Buffalo, I just talked to Marty Biron, and some of what Buffalo's clinging to is that the second half of the year, under the new coach, they thought he got way better and not, you know, put up some points, not enough, but put up some points, but also got much cleaner in his own end. So you're not wrong. Status and what they project him to be able to do is very much related to his, you know, being first overall. But I do think, you know, they do lump him in to that kind of good young defenseman that maybe haven't quite hit it. And the other part of it, we talked about situation. We just talked about Brady Tkachuk. Like, Brady's not an $8.5 million player. He may get that. But part of it's because of the organization, what they need, and where they're at. Like, Buffalo was turning the page on Eichel and Ristolainen and Reinhardt. Like, they're trying to build around guys who want to be there. This Dahlin apparently is one of those guys who wants to be there. So that matters right now because they don't want to have more player relations difficulty within the organization or to the fans about the actual kids that they're trying to build with.
Yeah, it's a good point because you got to keep players. Like, if guys keep flying out the door, like, you know, this is your high pick. You're already having your Eichel issues right now. If Dahlin goes, you know what, I want a one-year deal because I want to get the hell out of here. Like, you're in survival mode right now for some of these young guys to stay, realistically.
And this keeps them as an RFA, I believe, when the deal is up.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I think that's what's really important.
Although, you'll appreciate this. I read it correctly. I think his third year salary is 7.2. Mm-hmm. So his qualifier is 7.2 on the fourth year.
He better hit. He went first overall. Like if any organization is going to have faith in him or better have faith in him, it's this team. I know it's a completely different, executive team and totally different coaching staff.
That team, guys, that team is going to be bad.
Brutal.
Like, real bad. Like, they were terrible last year. But, the year they tried to get Connor and they tried to get off, like, they were awful then. Like, they're noodles. You've seen their goaltending in Buffalo. Are they going to get 60 points? Like, it's going to be tough.
Well, you got Craig Anderson and Aaron Dell. Like, I was,
right.
I love Andy from Ottawa. I don't even know what that noise was. That was all of
Western New York responding the same way you responded when listed off the depth chart.
But just to back it up, are you being serious with that?
Yeah, Craig Anderson and Aaron Dell are is the tandem
Craig Anderson is
He's 45 years old.
He's 40. Yeah, I think he's coming 40, 39. But you're right.
Wow.
But Andy played what? A handful of games with
three
the Wash
games?
Washer. Yeah.
Three? Four?
Yeah, all last season.
Actually, remember the first one, he gave him a pretty good game. It was because
they
were down
Wash,
to their third stringer. Yeah, he played pretty well.
Yeah.
What is his expression on his face when he played three games last year and he gets a phone call and on the other end it says, "We're thinking about you as our starter this year."
It's Jake Taylor.
It is. It is Jake Taylor hung over with ice on his knees.
It's no way he believes it's true.
No, he's like, "I'll call you back."
He hangs up. It was pranking me.
And now he's there and he's the guy. And listen, that team's going to be terrible. Like, them and Arizona are going to be horrendous.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
We'll filter everything else out as it plays out. So we'll see. I mean, camps are open. We're on the ice tomorrow. It's a fun time of year. Always great catching up with you, Johnny. We'll do it again soon. Thank you, buddy.
All right, boys. Have a good day.
Yeah.
There's Mike Johnson, our TSN hockey analyst. Yeah, Craig Anderson is Jake Taylor in Mexico somewhere with a sombrero over his face.
Literally said, "I got to think about it and call you back."
Yeah.
I want to say that Craig Anderson is chasing something, too. As far as games played or wins or something like that, it might be.
Well, it better not be wins. Because I don't think he'll
be struggling to get it. Yeah.
Unless
what, is
he,
one why, what does he
away.
Need? One more?
He's one win away. And they guaranteed him 30 starts.
And he's still sniffing for it in March.
Yeah, and I'm not privy to that. He's chasing 300 wins, and he's at 291.
Ooh.
So he needs 9.
I don't like the chances.
We got to put him in a Jerry's percentage one Wednesday.
I think he gets the 300. The
you
nine
do.
Wins.
Who's the other guy? Aaron Dell?
Aaron Dell. He was the backup in
San Jose for a while.
San Jose, and then was in, the Leafs signed him. He was here with the Leafs.
He was. He was. Well,
right?
I don't think he ever played for the Leafs, but.
No, they lost. They lost him on waivers to New Jersey last year.
Yeah, you might be right about that. But I would think you go with the youth, and Dell gets the majority of the starts.
Well, the thing is, he's not youth. I think Dell's 32 years old.
Wow.
He's not a 22-year-old. I think Aaron Dell is a – I've got to be –
But Anderson's what, 40 now? Is he 40 or he's close?
He's 40 years old. He turned in May. So
he's chasing 9 wins.
Aaron Dell is 32 years old, yeah.
Okay.
And he's one of the – I was going through this whole process the other day. He's one of the smaller goalies, Aaron Dell, in the league. Like, he's 5'11", 6 feet. Because there's a kid in Calgary who's like a 5'11", or UC Saros is 5'11", 5'10", 5'11". There's not as many small goalies in the league, but Aaron Dell's one of them.
All I can think of is Frozen when I hear Aaron Dell, because...
Oh, yeah, Aaron Dell.
That's where they're from. Every time I hear you say his full name, I'm like, okay.
Yeah,
I
love
know where
it.
This is going. all right, well, listen, shout out to Craig Anderson.
We love him.
He's our
guy.
And I'd love to see him get 9 wins. But that could come down to the final weekend. And he stands on his head for like 55 stops. Wouldn't that be amazing? Here's a question. Would they play him If they're tanking and they're right there with Arizona for dead last in the league, and he's at 299, and
absolutely
he needs
not.
I don't think
they'd play Tonya Harding him. They would Tonya Harding him in morning skate.
I think they'd say, "Sorry, man, you're on 299. Like we can't have you standing on your head tonight.
No.
And winning a game, it can't happen.
Tonya
so he
Harding.
Better do it quick. Yeah, he's got to get 9 wins by like the deadline, or else he's in. Because if he gets hot, that's another thing. He's got to be strategic. He gets hot, he's not going to play anymore.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, you got to sprinkle in wins and come off afterwards saying, man, I got lucky there. I was brutal tonight. I can't believe we got the win. Put me in tomorrow. There's a good chance we'll lose. Like, try to convince everyone you're going to lose. That's the strategy down there in Buffalo. All right, Scott Mitchell, our Jays reporter, will join us this hour on the Jays on the way to Minnesota for 4 once they wrap up their series down at the Trop. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. All right, so the Jays got smoked down at the Trop, and they lose 7-1 earlier this afternoon, just wrapped up. That is the first time they've lost a series in the last 8 series. They had won 7 in a row, and obviously today was the rubber match. They dropped 2 of 3 against Tampa. Nothing to complain about there. I mean, it was an ugly outing today, clearly, but Tampa's a great team, and they clinched the playoff spot today with that victory. That's how good Tampa is. You're going to lose some games. How do you respond? They fly to Minnesota now for 4 starting tomorrow. But it sounds like it was a chaotic game, especially late in the innings. To break it all down and to chat about the Jays, we're joined now by our Blue Jay reporter, Scott Mitchell. 7-1. We were on the air for the majority of it. Was it as ugly as the scoreline would suggest, Scotty?
Yeah. I mean, look, when you came into this day and you knew the Jays were going with a bullpen day, you kind of probably could have expected something like this. You knew they probably had to score runs and lean on that potent offense to squeak out of there with a series win. And that just didn't happen. And obviously that's a tough situation when, you know, you've had to use your bullpen in the series and, you know, you come into this day and, you know, you just don't have really enough. And obviously Ross Stripling is a guy who's coming off an injury, and that's just a tough situation. But, you know, like you said, I think you kind of have to look at it in terms of, you know, that's a very good baseball team. And, you know, they're kind of relentless offensively when they can mix and match like they do. So, yeah, like you said, you got to respond, and every game is so crucial. So it feels like a disappointing loss and a disappointing series. But, you know, when you played so well over this last month, and you know, it's just so hard to be disappointed with where they're at. But obviously every game is so crucial, and you know, now they've fallen back even with the Yankees.
Gets a little ugly there at the end, Scotty, and Kiermaier gets hit by Baraki. I think he probably thought that was coming at 7-1 at that particular point in the game, and Pete Walker went kind of nuts after that. I don't know if that was the build up from bad pitches he's seen for a couple days, or the stealing of the card from the catcher, or is that just him being a veteran baseball guy, understanding the relationship between Charlie Montoyo and Cash, and he knows Charlie doesn't want to go crazy here, so he stepped up.
Yeah, look, all of the above. I think you hit the nail on the head with all those. It's the fact that, you know, there's been some questionable umpiring in the series, and I think, you know, I know Walker's been frustrated with that. And obviously, I think when you look at some of the egregious calls, I think it's obvious that, you know, he's bound to be frustrated throughout a series that's obviously hasn't gone their way on the pitching side. And, you know, when you look at, you know, what he did with the card, I think that's valuable information. I think that's a little bit overblown in terms of, you know, how angry he'd be with that. But, yeah, I think he's angry about giving up 7 runs today and, you know, not being able to get out of there with, you know, a wild card lead instead of being even right now. So, yeah, I think it's accumulation of all those things. And I think Walker has shown a lot of fire this year. He knows how, he has a really good pitching staff, and, you know, they're the backbone of his team now, and he wants to defend his guys. I know he's defended his guys on occasion, you know, just because, you know, Montoyo maybe can't or won't on occasion, and he goes out there and you know, he's a veteran guy. He's been with this team, you know, much, much longer than Montoyo has, and I think he knows the importance of pitching well down the stretch into the playoffs here when it matters. And, you know, he went through the rebuilding years with this club over the last couple of years, and I think you're kind of seeing the fire in him this year.
Well, I believe the last 2 ejections have been Pete Walker. I want to say the last time was actually on a horrible sequence of umpiring against Jake Lamb, sure enough.
Yeah, it was the Barrios start.
There was the Barrios start when he was getting rocked early, and Walker came out and you know, got into it. I didn't think he was over the top with his emotions, but he had comments and he got tossed. And I would love to see the analytics on that. Like, how often in baseball history a pitching coach has been tossed twice in a row without the manager being in between that stat? Like, I would be surprised if that's never happened before, because Montoya's just adverse to it. And it doesn't need to matter. I don't know how the players react to that stuff, though. Like, I would be curious to get a genuine response from Barucci, Barrios, and others. There's Walker going nuts, and old Charlie's just sitting there giving the thumbs up, and let's move on with our business here.
Playing the bongos.
Yeah, it's a real interesting question. And you know, baseball players are interesting because, you know, baseball is not a real rah-rah kind of emotion sport. You know, it can be at times. You know, there's emotion in the stadium and things like that. But, you know, baseball players are very analytical and kind of self-involved and driven in a different sort of way. So, you know, I think they like to see Walker go out and do that. But I don't know that they necessarily frown upon Montoya not going out and doing that. You know, maybe they like it from time to time. Maybe somebody might think, you know, a certain way, maybe think that he should. But, you know, I think there's a tendency to kind of overblow that sort of stuff. But, you know, that's just kind of knowing how baseball players work a little bit.
So Barucci hits Kiermaier, and you would think Barucci will probably face a suspension for that, Scotty. And, at this point in the season.
Yeah,
so, I mean, and that's really what matters here. Like, you're not playing the Rays again unless you make it into the playoffs and you win your wild card game. The Rays are going. You're not going to see them again. Kiermaier's fine. He'll move on with the season. Everything's all good. But if Barucci is going to be suspended and you went pretty deep into your bullpen here and you've got games coming up against Minnesota, who are not a great team, but still, you're going to face them four times in their park. How does today factor into the way maybe the game plan could play out over the next four games?
Yeah, look, Barucci's for sure going to be suspended. I mean, Manoah was suspended for much, much less earlier in the season. So, you know, this is for sure going to be, you know, that five-game kind of one-start thing and you know, maybe more. We'll see. But, you know, I think Barucci's kind of the sacrificial lamb here a little bit. You know, he's been up and down lately between AAA and here. So, I mean, you know, he's suspended. You get to add another guy to the roster. I don't know that, you know, it would be the worst thing in the world. So, you know, I think that's kind of the situation when you look at that. You go to Minnesota and, you know, Barucci, it's interesting. You know, I don't know that Barucci was kind of ordered to do that. But when you look at the situation, you look at the pitch and you look at, you know, who it was, it's very clear that it was intentional. So, you know, whether he's going to admit to that or not, I'm not sure. But, you know, they'll go to Minnesota, and I think the bullpen, you know, probably is going to churn through a couple fresh arms anyways. But, you know, with the way this rotation's been pitching, you kind of hope to get through that this weekend, because obviously this day is your trouble spot now with a bullpen day, and then eventually you hope to get Ryu back. But then, you know, we've seen what kind of adventure that is, too.
Absolutely. So the Jays lose 7-1. They drop 2 of 3 in Tampa off the Minnesota for 4 starting tomorrow. Thank you, Scotty. We'll do it again soon.
All right. Cheers, Paul. Take care.
There's Scott Mitchell, our Jays reporter. Jays, it got ugly. Like chicken strips. Ross Stripling was in. Merriweather was getting – he was in a jam in that first, and he opened the game in the first inning. He got through it clean. It's all good. And then Stripling came in, which was the plan, and he gave them 1 1/3, gave up 5 earned. Home run, walked a guy, it wasn't good. And at that point, it was basically over.
Dude, that
and
team,
the bats
man,
didn't come alive.
They're a factory. Like, they just, they win and win, and it's just, there's a lack of star power, or seemingly lack of star power coming up to the plate time and time again, but they just rack up wins like it's just nobody's business.
Yeah, they're a good program. That's what they are.
They're the best.
They're a good program.
Like, their payroll is third of where the big boys are, if that, and all they do is churn out player after player. What they do very well as well is they get rid of guys right before they have to get paid or right before they break down. You know, like that's their move. They build a guy up, he gets to 27, 28, it's time to pay him, and they say, they don't think twice about it. You're going to go.
Right.
And then they bring back a haul, and the two or three guys they bring back in the haul, two or three years later are playing prominent roles for them, and it just keeps going around and around
like
and around.
Big-time starting pitchers that just exit stage left year after year. Yeah. It's incredible.
It's amazing what they accomplished. They punched their ticket. They're in the playoffs. You know, yeah. They've still got 10 games to go, and they're in the playoffs in Tampa, and it's not a surprise to anyone based on the way they've played all year and what they've done for the better part of a decade plus.
Yeah.
So, impressive. You know, credit to Tampa. But now the Jays dropping 2 of 3, which on a micro standpoint, from a micro standpoint, again, it's not the biggest surprise in the world because of how good Tampa is. But right. We have become accustomed to them winning series because they had done it 7 times in a row. And from a macro standpoint, you're in a battle here. The Yankees won last night. The Sox won last night. Both teams are in action again tonight. And the Jays are leaving there dropping 2 of 3. So, you know, they could go to sleep tonight outside of a playoff spot. The Yankees could pass them tonight. So we'll track that.
It's
we'll see how
right
it all plays out.
Right down to the wire. Right
it's
down
gonna,
to the
it
wire.
It is. Yep. Yeah. It's likely going to come right down to the wire. And they got 4 in Minnesota, then they're home for a 6-game homestand, 3 against the Yankees. Those 3 games are going to be massive. And you know the Jays are waiting for an answer on whether or not they can sell more tickets because that would be a packed building or real close to it. You get 30,000 in there for sure, I think. And maybe that will be the case come next week. We'll see if they have enough time to turn it around.
Yeah.
So the Jays dropping 2 of 3. They're off to Minnesota. An update on the Evander Kane gambling allegations and that investigation from the league. We'll tell you about that, and we'll start looking ahead to a big weekend in sports. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. All right, so the NHL has released a statement that Evander Kane is off the hook for any gambling issues or the allegations that maybe he was gambling on the games or throwing the games. So he's off the hook for that because they couldn't find any evidence that would support it. But now he's under investigation for something else that's unrelated to it. So I guess he's still in spotlight, and the NHL is going to have to comb through other details and figure out what they're going to do with Evander Kane. So
well, there's a lot of allegations. There's a lot of allegations against him, not just the gambling. I think there's some domestic.
Yeah, from his ex-wife or his estranged wife. And I read them today, and it. Yeah, the league, it's worthy of an investigation. They're going to look into it, as they should, and we'll see what comes of it. This week's NFL Look Ahead brought to you by BookSeats.com, custom flight, hotel, and ticket packages to events around the world. BookSeats.com, simplifying the way fans travel. I have done Packers at Niners, so been there, done that, courtesy of BookSeats.com. Went through the website, locked it all in, actually. It was a spectacular experience. So that would not be on my bucket list. Eagles at Cowboys, first home game for the Cowboys, would be up there, but Ryder Cup, Whistling Straits, Noodles. Oh,
yeah.
I could see you cruising around Whistling
God.
Straits.
And I'm not like a walker around to try it, but just to – I don't want to be on the 18th hole either because you don't know if it's going to get there, but put me on like 8 or 9 or something where things get a little bit tense, and I will set up shop – well, I'm not going to set up shop like I used to back in the day – but just to set up and just watch the groups come through, that's my kind of trip, man.
Yeah,
that's your trip.
I'm with you. I'm with you.
I'd do it. Like as we established earlier, I have no problem doing things even if I don't enjoy them. I will just kind of hang in the weeds, right?
I think going to Europe for the Ryder Cup, that's a bucket list for me.
That'd be awesome.
That'd be awesome. Yeah, like they were in Paris a few years ago. How cool would that be to go to Paris for a Ryder Cup, cruise into Paris and check out what else is cooking?
Wee
is right. And even Jays in Minnesota, I think, would be a pretty good one to get down to. The Bringer of Rain, obviously, was just up here, but big games. Sneaky town, you guys have said. St. Paul in particular, sneaky little town.
It is.
Yeah, it can be very sneaky.
I love that city. I mean, you know, I spent time there because I lived there, but you know what? It's one of those underrated places, but you have to appreciate it.
You got to know what you're getting.
Exactly,
The Twin Cities. The NFL Look Ahead brought to you by BookSeats.com, custom flight, hotel, and ticket packages to events around the world. BookSeats.com, simplifying the way fans travel. So if you're in the business of looking to hook up a sports vacay, no better place to go than BookSeats.com. All right, we'll see what happens tonight with the Yankees and the Sox because the Jays losing today. The Leafs will be on the ice tomorrow, so we'll have some updates on that.
Let's go.
Week 3 in the NFL tomorrow night. There's a lot going on now, man. We're into mid-September. It's go time.
I'm fired up for it, too. Yes. This is where it's the wheelhouse. Very exciting.
Oh, yeah, the wheelhouse. Everything's churning for the boys. Yeah. We love it. We're out of here. Enjoy your evenings. Enjoy the games tonight. We are back tomorrow at?
Get me an XL Drew hoodie, 4 p.m.
We'll chat then.